Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Last Sunday, it was 200,000 protesters shutting down Jerusalem. Yesterday, an estimated 50,000 massed in Lower Manhattan. Ultra-Orthodox group members protesting Israel's plan to extend its compulsory military service to more Orthodox Jews. Did you run into that big protest yesterday downtown? Let's hear why the big turnouts and what the issues are from Jane Eisner, editor of The Forward, the daily Jewish newspaper. Hi, Jane. Welcome back to WNYC.
Thank you, Brian. Thanks for having me back.
And let me start with big picture context, because this is a growing conflict, part of it, between the more secular and the very Orthodox in Israel, right? A really big issue there. The population is becoming more Orthodox, but Orthodox men have what is supposed to be a special exemption for especially devout men who devote their time to Bible study.
Yes, that's true. I mean, this really goes back to the founding of the State of Israel, when, if you recall, there was just about a decimation of this very pious, Torah-centered kind of Judaism in Europe after the Holocaust. And David Ben-Gurion, the first leader, said, okay, a few hundred of you don't have to go into the military. Instead, you'll just study. And from their perspective, they feel that they are helping the Jewish people by studying. They do feel that this is a service to the community. But it also, at that point, was just a tiny, tiny minority of the Jews there. Now we see the Haredim, the ultra-Orthodox, about 10% of the Israeli Jewish population, and that number is growing because of the large families. Here we know that ultra-Orthodox are about 7% of American Jews, and again, their numbers are growing. When you look at their birth rate compared to others, it's much, much higher. So it is growing in part because they are kind of taking up a bigger piece of the Jewish pie, if you will.
And secular Jews are having fewer kids at the same time. But
exactly.
There's a parallel issue for the economy to the military issue in Israel, right? Because the ultra-Orthodox full-time Bible students tend not to hold jobs in the economy at the same rate as other people. And with these larger families, as a matter of religious practice, they're becoming a bulge in the population that's not just bigger but more dependent on welfare, kind of by the choice of the group. Is that a fair way to put it?
It is. It is. The unemployment rate among ultra-Orthodox men in Israel is about 65%. And this is a news thing. If you looked even just 50 years ago at ultra-Orthodox communities in New York and London and other places, there was a much higher participation in the workplace. So this trend to spend full-time studying for everyone, you know, in the past it was the most brilliant men would do that and others would work, or they would combine work and study. And because in Israel, your work and your military service are connected, that's why it's such an issue, especially in Israel, because if you're not in the military, you're also not in the economy, and vice versa. And so it becomes not just a question of who will defend the state, but who will actually work for the state and for the people.
And so, listeners, we have a few minutes for phone calls on this. Any of you who were at that big rally yesterday want to call in? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Any other American Jews, 212-433-9692, or anyone else. And yet, I'm wondering about a paradox here, that is the military increasingly protecting the homes of the very groups that are declaring their right to be exempt from the military. Because am I right that the ultra-Orthodox Jews live disproportionately in the West Bank territories compared to other Israeli Jews?
Well, I'm not sure about disproportionately, and I don't think it's accurate to equate settlers with ultra-Orthodox Jews. Many of the most sort of zealous settlers come from what we call a religious Zionist strain that isn't, you know, they're not the types to wear long coats and payas and black hats and are organize their communities around a Rebbe the way many of the Haredim, certainly the Hasidim, do. So it's not exactly the same, but But you're getting to a bigger point there, which is that many Israelis who serve, both secular and religious, but who serve in the military and obviously work for a living, are increasingly resentful of this part of the population that is exempt from both of these obligations. And that's what fueled the rise of a new party in the last Israeli election.
You know, you hinted at a distinction between different groups of Orthodox Jews that I want to bring to the fore, because certainly we don't want to lump all Orthodox Jews or even ultra-Orthodox Jews together as we wouldn't with any diverse group. And one of the things here that people probably don't understand very much is that those who are protesting, tell me if I've got this wrong, but I think I've got it right, that their religion dictates that these are not the Zionist nationalists in the way we might think of the Israeli right and some of the ultra-Orthodox typically. One young protester yesterday was quoted in the Forward saying, the Zionists created all these problems with the Arabs, and now they want to drag us to fight their wars for them. What belief is that statement based on?
Well, if you believe that the only way that the Jewish people will return fully to Israel and to Jerusalem is when the Messiah comes, then you don't believe in Zionism. Because Zionism says, we're not waiting for a supernatural being to deliver us. We're taking history into our own hands. I mean, that was the powerful message of Zionism in the 20th century.
So these 50,000, because there's no Messiah yet, I guess they don't think Bibi is the Messiah, so we'll leave that aside.
That's right.
these 50,000 people in Manhattan yesterday, the 200,000 people in Jerusalem last Sunday, they don't even believe that the state of Israel should exist?
Well, that I can't say, because within the ultra-Orthodox community, there are a lot of different kinds of attitudes about the state. And in fact, you see many different Orthodox and ultra-Orthodox parties participating in the electoral process, being members of parliament of the Knesset. That there is a very tiny, tiny group that says the state of Israel shouldn't exist at all. But I think that they do not place as high a premium on temporal government and temporal matters. It's why, ironically, some ultra-Orthodox in Israel are much more willing to give up land for peace, because they don't sort of place such a premium on land. For them, you know, it's a spiritual question. It is not a temporal one.
Reva in Muncie, you're on WNYC with Jane Eisner, editor of The Forward. Hi.
Hi there. I just wanted to make one point. When she said that the ultra-Orthodox are not in the military and also not in the economy, people would go to work if they were allowed to, but they don't. If they're not allowed to work, because once they work, they have to be drafted. So people avoid the draft. They don't. They sit and learn for years. If they would be allowed to work, more people would go back to the picture she presented from 50 years ago of working and learning and remaining ultra-Orthodox. But so the goal.
But are you saying that the Torah study, rather than getting jobs, is a form of draft evasion?
After a point. In other words, people would, when it comes a point where you have to support your own family, a person who's 35 years old and has learned for many years and realizes he won't become a teacher, and he feels that supporting his family is also, certainly allowed and encouraged, for Jewish life. In other words, she said only the elite would stay in learning. That might happen at some age if people were allowed to work.
And the bottom line is to avoid the military because they don't believe in the state that the military is defending, or for some other reason?
No, they're forced to avoid the military because you couldn't keep up a Torah lifestyle in the army.
Oh, even if you could in the economy. Jane, is this ringing true to you?
Well, it is. And as I said, there is a tie in Israel between if you're working, then you are supposed to also be not only just available for military draft, but Israelis, men participated in what they call milouim, like sort of reserve duty, for decades after they complete their military service. But there's also another question here, which is, even if these men could work, wanted to work. Could they? Are they able to? And the truth is that many, many don't have the kind of secular education that you need to compete in today's economy. Now, there are really fine efforts going on in Israel now to address that. A couple years ago, I went to a fascinating program that's run by the Joint Distribution Committee and folks in Israel to help ultra-Orthodox men and women learn skills so that they can get jobs. And they do it in a way that is mindful of the way of their lifestyle and their values. So men and women aren't in the same classes together and things like that. But part of what's happening in Israel, and I'm afraid here as well, is that we are seeing a growing population of Jews not only unwilling to work, but possibly unable to compete in today's economy.
Brian in Newark is going to follow up on that, I think. And we've got about 2 minutes before Governor Cuomo comes on. Brian, right to the point.
Yeah, I have a statement and a question. The statement is there's always been a rumor in the black community that the Orthodox Jews have their own special prisons. But I've also noticed that on welfare, because I was on welfare one time, you never see Orthodox Jews applying for welfare. They have one representative that represents the whole community that comes out to the welfare office and gets welfare for everybody who needs it. What special treatment do they have in this country, the super Orthodox Jews?
Jane, anything like that documented?
Brian, I'm afraid I've never seen that proven. Certainly there are ultra-Orthodox Jews, not too many, but there are some who unfortunately do go to prison. And when it comes to welfare benefits, there are quite a few on welfare because it is a poor community. But my understanding is, and I've never seen anything to the contrary, that they apply like everyone else. So I do think that they are treated fairly in that regard.
And that does relate to the conflict over the East Ramapo School District, which we've covered on the show. Poverty almost by choice and the needs of the communities clashing with each other there. But there we have to leave it. So a little light shed, I think, on what that big demonstration in Lower Manhattan was about yesterday with respect to Israel from Jane Eisner, editor of the Jewish Daily Forward. Jane, thank you so much.
Thank you, Brian.